So our gospel lesson is in the 20th chapter of John, where Jesus appears to the disciples, and this particular section is about the Thomas story. So we hear the Spirit is saying to the church, "When it was evening on the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the rulers. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he showed his disciples his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to the disciples again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas that, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Hey, unless I see the mark and the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the in his side, I will not believe." Well, a week later, it was the Lord's Day again, the day of resurrection. Jesus' disciples were again in the same house. Thomas was with them this time. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." To which Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Said Jesus, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The Gospel of the Lord. So it is very, very dicey. It's very, very difficult to ponder the what we could call kind of the faith, the foundations of your faith on which you're going to stand apart from a community of faith. Yeah, you need other people with whom to bounce ideas, other people whom you trust, other people whom you can express even your doubts, your concerns, people whom you can think out loud about faith matters, such as resurrection. That's always a good starter to get people's brains going. But you know, we're all realists here. And so as you age, you start to look around and you realize that there are fewer church members, okay? There are fewer friends, neighbors, colleagues. People move to other towns. They move away. People take new jobs. They move to distant locations. People retire. They move to faraway states. People die. Yeah, they die. They're gone. We can't talk with them anymore. They don't pass away. They die. Horace Allen, a Presbyterian minister and a renowned liturgical scholar, was known for the fact that if in his presence somebody were to say that, "By the way, you should know that so-and-so passed on," he would instantly and insistently state, it didn't matter whether it was church members or it didn't matter whether it was the Presbytery exec or whether they were some of the world's liturgical scholars, "We are Christians. We don't pass away. We die. Death is the dead end of life." Yeah, death is death is death. Well, Horace has died a couple of years ago. And so maybe to honor and memorialize his life, somebody's need to pick up the mantle and continue. Yes, when people die, people understand they die. That's the choice. There's only three choices for us. We don't get born and then live and then something else. I don't know. No, we are born, we live, and we die. There's only three options for us. There's nothing else in between. We're born, then we live. I don't know, hours, days, months, years, decades. We experience joys and sorrows. We have accomplishments. We have failures. We experience rudeness. We experience appreciation, solitude, companionship. Yeah, I mean, so what is life in the end, even if you live to be 88, 92? Well, in the words of the Native American proverb, life is the flash of a firefly in the night. And then we're dead. Then we're dead. That's it. There's no more. But that's exactly the word so many of us don't want to use. That's why we come up with words like somebody passed. Somebody moved on. Somebody suffered the ultimate sacrifice. You see, but when you do that, you're really revealing to people your uncomfortableness with death. Maybe a fear of death. People who use euphemisms about death are expressing their apprehensions, their uncertainties, their wonders about, well, nobody's ever been resurrected and come back and identified the whole thing. Well, we have stories, but nobody that we know of. There's no videotape. So who knows? No, it's the dead end of us that scares the bejesus out of us. So unfortunately, we wind up avoiding it. Well, we don't really want to talk about death, so we can avoid it. When we interact with other people, we'd like to talk about the weather, about sports, about family activities, about school, about maybe politics, although that becomes a third rail in the last couple of years. Anything other than matters of the faith, especially death and resurrection. So when is the last time? How often do you discuss, ponder, think, engage in deep thought about death and resurrection with other people? Not very often. Well, yeah, I remember there are crisis moments. Yeah, that's when perhaps the opportunities arrive, because now you have to deal with somebody died. But we like to skim over that. We like to ignore that. Yes, there's Father, but he's now in heaven. I think he's there, isn't he? But you close your mouth, you don't say anything. So people like to do that. They like to separate body from soul. But it is an opportunity to talk about death, resurrection. And if the opportunity is taken advantage of, if somebody's willing to brave thoughts, you know, you usually find out that, well, hey, you've been thinking about this too. I didn't know that you were also thinking about death and resurrection. No, we all just keep using euphemisms so we don't have to talk about death and resurrection, Lord knows. But we all gather and sing hymns and hallelujah. But people down deep, most people down deep, people of faith in particular, they do wonder and ponder and think about death and resurrection. It might be mostly in the quiet of their own solitude. And what do people think about? They think about, what is death? I mean, you realize you're not going to know you died. You don't know when you went to sleep, right? You know you're tired. You know you got the lights out. You know you're thinking about things. And then you wake up. You don't know that you went to sleep. You don't know that you died. You're maybe thinking, well, things are not really looking very good here. I'm hooked up on a life support in a hospital, and I die. Well, but you don't know that you die. You just die. So then what? Well, there's birth, there's life, there's death. And then we enter in with the great Christian pronouncement about resurrection. That gets very dicey. It's difficult to figure that out on your own, apart from a community of faith. You need other people with whom you trust and can express their doubts, their fears. Because most people, if you get to that point, will probably say something like, you know, I would like to believe in resurrection, but it's a very human response. I want to believe in resurrection, but see, now we can get down to the nitty-gritty. So what's your but? What's my but? People, by and large, have all sorts of uncertainties about religious convictions, especially death and resurrection. This is why they don't want to talk about it. Now, there are some people, they got it all figured out. They got the religious conviction. And if you bump into those people, you say to yourself, aha, perjurer, phony, stay away. Well, no, I take that back. Don't stay away from those people. Pray for those people. Embrace those folks. Love them. Because you know what? They probably down deep are in the same boat you are. I want to believe, but, yeah, it's always the but. Oh, the Thomas story. Yes, that's what we were just reading. Thomas wasn't there for the grand showing, right? He was, I don't know, he's out for a cup of coffee, he's taking the trash out, Lord knows where he is, but he missed it. So now they tell him, but he didn't see it. He's got to see. Seeing is believing, right? He didn't see it. He's got to see. He is real, though, isn't he? That's one of his great qualities. Tactfulness isn't Thomas's gift, but he calls a spade a spade. He tells you what his doubts are. He is secure in his own skin. He's not worried about social approval. He's willing to put his values and risks out there, risk his principles. I know who I am, and I didn't see anything or hear anything. He is a relatable human being. We can identify with Thomas. We're together with him. Let's get together with someone like that to talk, to ponder, to pray, to wonder. Yeah, about creation, about God, about the mysteries of God, about God's grace. Yeah, Thomas is the type of person we want to find. That's the person you want to buddy up with. But there's fewer and fewer of them, especially as you age. So, well, how do you believe? How do you know what to believe? It's very, very difficult to believe in resurrection when you have too much. And so the reality is we have way too much. We're in the top 0.001% on God's green earth of having way too much. We can fool ourselves that we are secure. We are guaranteed. We've got tickets for the hereafter. People who have too little, that's a different ballgame. Like our Ukrainian sisters and brothers, you realize today is Easter Day for them. Were they able to gather in their churches to celebrate that vigil of the crucifixion, the darkness, the death, and then sing the troparion and the hymns and the alleluias? And then they have these rituals with eggs, which are tombs from which Christ is risen. No, we've got some Ukrainians that are bunkered down in a steel mill for the last 60 days. Children have never seen the sun. They have way too little. But they can talk about death. It's right in front of them. And they can ponder and wonder with each other about resurrection. Because faith is faith is faith. What do we have? We have faith stories. That's all we've got. This is not a book of facts, not a history book. It's a book of faith stories. There's poems, there's parables, there's genealogies, there's songs. So Thomas Troeger, another Presbyterian minister, I guess I'm stuck on those today here, a pastor and a prolific hymn writer, a number of his hymns are in this book, and a colleague in my liturgical societies, who just died just before Easter, and he wrote in here this hymn that we're going to sing. Thomas's reasoned certainties denied that one could live when one had died. Because dead is dead is dead. You want to start talking about resurrection, you better check your surroundings. Who's in the room? Because any sane person knows that dead is dead is dead. Next stanza. May we, O God, by grace believe and thus the risen Christ receive. Faith is not the acquisition of knowledge and comprehension. Faith is a gift. Faith is a gift that where did we come from? Okay, we are willing and brave and bold to say we came from the, metaphorically, the hands of the Creator, whom we name God, revealed in Christ, and God is love. We came from love. We don't know where we came from. We have no idea what it was like before birth. But we are bold enough to say we came from love. We've now lived with all of its ups and downs, all of its strains and stresses and tears and joys when we die. We return to the hands of the Creator, whom we name God, revealed in Jesus Christ, who is love. We came from love. We return to love. And we're willing to say, that's resurrection. We were given the gift of life, and our life, not earthly life, nothing like earthly life, a resurrected life, whatever that is given back to us when we die. You don't die, no resurrection. This is the gift. Faith is a gift, and it is a gift to be able to find colleagues, friends, neighbors, church members to ponder, to wonder, to pray, to talk about the matters of faith, because these are the ultimates. Hey, we have a lot of nifty things we do in life, and we got plaques and achievements and awards and degrees and who knows what, but this is the ultimate. Birth, life, death. And we need each other desperately. Yeah. Names of churches, buildings, edifices, programs, endowment funds, they're all obstacles. And the older we get, there's fewer and fewer of them. Now, we need each other to ponder and pray matters of ultimate death and resurrection in the name of Christ.